From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Dave Iverson. Con la Pacific Mambo Orquesta, sabor. It's the modern musician's dream. You pull a band together, fund a debut album with Kickstarter, and go on to win a Grammy. That's exactly what the Bay Area-based Pacific Mambo Orchestra did in January, beating out big-name acts like singer Mark Anthony for Best Tropical Latin Album. Not too shabby for a group with no major label recording contract. This hour, we've got the orchestra in-house, and we're going to kick off the weekend early, hearing about their story and dancing to their music. That's coming up this hour on Forum. KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro, and today for Dave Iverson. A few years ago, a trumpet player named Stefan Kuhn and a pianist named Christian Tumalan came up with an idea, a big band inspired by the Latin big bands from the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, but updated for modern ears. And last month, that band's debut album won the Grammy for Best Tropical Latin Album. Pacific Mambo Orchestra is here now in studio. Why wait? Let's start the show with a song. Thank you. So now, dear listeners, you know what that Grammy was all about. We're going to give this 19-piece orchestra a chance to wipe their brows after that rousing performance while we have the co-founders and co-directors come up here for a cozy chat about the Pacific Mambo Orchestra. We have Christian Tumalan, pianist. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us here. Good morning.
And we also have Stephen Kuen.
It's Stefan.
Stefan Kuen on trumpet. Thank
That's
you.
That's a classic.
So who wants to tell us about this first song we just heard?
Well, this song is a composition I wrote for the album. It's entitled PMO Intro. And my inspiration was to try to transition from the rootsy part of this music, which is Latin music, Afro-Cuban music. You guys heard at the beginning has a little piano solo, sort of classical, jazzy sort of thing that builds into a more Afro kind of rhythm and then builds into the actual updated regular salsa groove. So that's kind of like the approach that I had on this first composition.
And Stefan, that pretty much describes a lot of what the describes a lot of what this band does: salsa, mambo, Latin jazz, cha-cha, R&B, hip-hop. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and that's also what we like to play, and this is where most of us are coming from a jazz background, transitioning into Latin music. The horns basically are all American European descent, you know, where the rhythm section is of Latin descent. So we come from different backgrounds, musically speaking, as well. And so where the rhythm section probably moves towards jazz a little bit more, the horns probably move towards Latin music a little bit more.
Christian, can you tell us a little bit about just the organizational challenge of going out and finding four trumpets, four trombones, five saxophones, piano, bass, timbales, congas, bongos, and a lead singer?
I have to say that it wasn't really a challenge to organize and call these musicians. Before we started this project, me and Stefan had a goal in mind, which is to call the top players in town, period. And we were fortunate enough to make that phone call, and we got a return jazz from each player. So I think we feel really happy about that. It wasn't really a challenge. The challenge was to keep this band playing regularly. As you might tell, it's also a financial challenge to keep a band of this its size happening. But we have the support of every single musician. They came over to play with us every Monday at Cafe Kokomo's, and then nobody really was there for the money at the beginning because, you know, money was short for the pay. People were there literally for the love, for the art, for this art form, which is big band, for the Latin. And me and Stefan are really blessed to have that. Yeah. It's a great start.
Yeah. And Stefan, are you still playing every Monday?
No, that was like the first year we played every Monday night. And then in our second year, we we started playing every other Monday. And then we got bookings outside of the club, and it started interfering a little bit. And so we kind of stopped after a year and a half. But we have engagements at Cafe Kokomo on other nights than the Monday night.
And, of course, you guys have gone on to tour as well.
Yes, we had our first national tour last year, past fall. And it was a remarkable tour, not only for us, for the Bay Area. It was the first time after many, many years of a band that plays this music to get outside of the state of California. And that was a great achievement. We met a lot of people. We called Mr. Tito Puente Jr. to join us, be part of the tour. He was really happy to do it. The response was unbelievable. We got a great, great response from, say, something, Indiana, Oregon, New Mexico.
It's a name people recognize.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know, one of the things I guess that strikes me about your music is how it pulls on nostalgia, like you were saying earlier, but with a modern twist. Brings in a sensibility that doesn't say, well, these are the rules. I'm just going to do this kind of music and leave out the rest.
Yeah. Actually, this is something we really like to talk about, because it enables us to mention our writers and arrangers in the band, which is Mr. Dr. Arlington, who is responsible for 3 or 4 arrangements on our CD, and Mr. Mike Renta, who is responsible for arranging music for the band. Also, Christian and myself, we arranged and wrote. I lost my train of thought.
Well, here's a question for you. Yeah. You teach students in Oakland, and I imagine this has got to be the best example. Leading by example, right?
Yeah.
Showing them what can be done.
Yeah, what can be done. I mean, music is never considered to be a career choice for unknown reasons, I think, because we all know plenty of musicians that are plenty successful. And all people in this room, all musicians in this room, we are all full-time professional musicians that make a good to great living doing what we do. So this is a definite career choice. And now the kids, actually, they kind of maybe look twice at this now. It's like, hey, I can do that and actually, you know, have fun and make money and do that, do what I love.
Definitely, yeah. And also being an educator, it's been for me a great personal journey in order to interact with every single little mind. You know, we teach anybody from 5-year-olds to teenagers or even adults, professionals. And it's just interesting how, you know, people have been asking me, you are so busy playing music here and there. How is it possible that you're still teaching? And it's a nice counterbalance for any musician, I think, just to be inside a room teaching a little mind. It kind of takes you back to your roots as a musician, and it's a great balance. It's, like, it's a great point of serenity from my personal point of view.
Where did you guys start? How did you first begin playing music?
Well, I'm born and raised in Germany, so I was born in Mannheim. And when I was 5 years old, I, according to my mother, you know, she said I would run through the department store and end up in the music department in front of the trumpet. That was age 5, and then at age 8, they bought me my first trumpet, and I was taught by the professor of the Mannheim University, actually, who took me under his wings.
Yeah, well, myself, I started playing classical piano when I was 5 and a half, I think. And my first experience wasn't that great. I think my piano teacher, I remember, he wanted me just playing all these hand on exercises on the piano, but not music at all. So I quit, like, a little bit after that. And then after I started playing organ, the one that has the two keyboards and pedals, and I was fascinated by that, like the programming of the sounds and all that. That was very fascinating to me. And then it wasn't until I was 15 I decided to start classical music seriously. And my first instrument, of course, was the piano.
Well, let's do some more leading by example. Show kids what happens when you play your scales repeatedly until you get it right. What are we going to listen to next?
The next that we have in the list is El Cantante. This is a great arrangement by Mike Rinta, who is in house right here. He's one of the trombonists. He's one of the top arrangers in town. I wouldn't say not only in town, but
in the whole world
right now.
He's, let's not be shy.
We're very happy to have him a part of the team. And then he wrote this rendition to El Cantante. This is probably about to be one of the most crossover salsa tunes right now. Mark Anthony brought it up again, and then now we decided to come up with a little bit of a more jazzy twist, a little bit different, and this is what the next song is about. And then we have we're featuring Alexa Morales on the vocal, and here it is.
And Mike Renta on a little trombone solo too, right?
Oh yeah. Want to solo, Mike?
Mike, you want to play some?
Yeah, he says yes.
Thumbs up. Okay, he's on board. Okay,
all
let's
right.
do it.
Let's hear it. ¡Es mi orquesta!
pizza.
Questa sera sempre la streccia della fiesta. E nadie pregunta si su o si llora. Si tengo una pena que yo quiero muy hondo. Yo soy la cantante porque lo mío es cantar. Y a los que me siguen mi canción voy a brindar. Yo soy la cantante muy popular donde quiera. Pero cuando el show se acaba soy otro humano cualquiera. Sigo mi vida con rosas y penas,
back to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Dave Iverson. We're talking with the Pacific Mambo Orchestra, a very local band that really embodies the modern Cinderella story, winning a Grammy. And we're going to hear about that in just a moment. But first, let me throw the phones open. Call us at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. If you have a question for the fine musicians of the Pacific Mambo Orchestra, you can also email us at forum@kqed.org or post on our Facebook page, whatever your mode of communication. We're ready for your questions and comments. So I guess I'll start with you, Christiane Tumalon. Gosh, winning the Grammys, how did you get there?
I think it was we just took a car. that was our drive.
I would think minivan, right?
Yeah,
or
minivan.
Maybe something even bigger, a bus.
We decided to just to drive down, enjoy the drive, and talk about it was a meeting kind of really due for both of us as partners, and it was a great drive down to Los Angeles. And how we got there in terms of merits, right? It's been quite myself, I'm surprised, and people are really surprised about how we evolved from zero 3 years ago to the Grammys. And there's a number of things that I believe that marked the success of that. I think the first thing and the most important thing is the musicianship that is in the band. And we are... Aside from many other professional bands out there, I believe, and Stefan believes the same thing, that we are more like a family. We look for each other. We try to we respect everybody as a musician, as a person, and that has been very solid on our end, making sure that that part and that integrity is being put up front before anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that a concept really, really helped the band to project this energy onto the community, into the venues, into the dancers, into every single person that actually sees us playing live. And we have gotten so much support, not only from the musicians themselves, we've gotten so much support from everybody involved in the community. People have helped anything from financially, from... doing videos and photos for us and doing all this kind of stuff that normally a company will take care of by paying different people.
So it's kind of from the ground up,
yeah.
Stefan
Kuhn.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of fabulous musicians who toil for a lifetime without anybody learning about them on a big scale.
Yeah. It's an open question still. I mean, why us? There's all these things that Christian and I have been saying, about the community support, about the great musicians, about the great music that we're playing, the concept of a Latin big band. I think we tapped into something else, into some form of energy that guided us through these past 3 years. I cannot explain it any other way because, like you said, there's a million musicians out there that strive for the same thing. They want to win a Grammy and they put up great records and they're great musicians. And we've just been in the right place at the right time and we had a good product and we had a lot of support.
And you had a lot of people hungry for what you were delivering. Al writes, I grew up as a teen listening to the great sounds of Perez Prado, Machito, and, of course, Pete Escovedo. Thanks, Pacific Mambo.
Yeah, that's really what a lot of people were sort of craving this sound back. Mm-hmm. We have been you have been listening on the radio and on the club scene a lot of different type of salsa. But this particular sound, it was pretty much... people were craving the return of that. We're talking about 1950s. What? That was the last Tito Puente tour that I believed it took place.
That's what his son said, yeah. His dad, the last big tour was like in late 1950s, maybe early 60s, mid-60s.
So people can, hear a recording, but it's not the same thing as seeing a band
absolutely
live.
Not.
Is there anybody else who's doing what you guys do on the West Coast, in the U.S., internationally?
There's the big bands in L.A. New York. A couple years ago, I was in New York at the Puerto Rican Festival. So it was a big band there that somebody put together for that particular event. But as far as I know, there's hasn't been a big band that has been active like we have been.
Like
we're talking about playing
every
week.
You've got to be worried
week.
About copycats now that you got the Grammy.
Maybe so.
Yeah, well, we hope. Yeah.
Well, let's turn to Dara in Oakland. Thank you for calling in. All right. Dara was about to ask or to make a comment to say that it's just great to have musicians teaching kids in school and then great to see them succeed.
Mm-hmm. Great, yeah. It's great. I think that this whole Grammy thing and Pacific Mambo, rather than being just a Latin band, it has been a source of inspiration for a lot of people in the community, including our own students. There's some articles from some of our band members that they teach at schools or they either studied at a certain university in different states, and now they are seeing the result of the hard work as a musician. So I think it's a lot going on, not only for us, it's just for the community, for the students. Yeah. My personal students are like really motivated to say, you know, they...
Yeah. And I think it's not just a motivator for the students. I mean, since we're San Francisco Bay Area based, I think like because we have such a close-knit community with not just musicians but with dancers and friends and family support, you know, it's like it's bigger than us, and it's basically like the Bay Area is standing behind us.
All those people who go to see you in clubs feel a sense of ownership.
So
I gotta ask. Right. I mean, back in the day, bands used to sell albums. You know, someone would then they clicked a buy button. Then there was no clicking of the buy button. I'm just kind of curious. Since you've gotten the Grammy, have you made any money off of the music? Recording?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely been a huge spike in sales, actual like physical CD sales, online downloads, and so on and so forth. So yeah, very noticeable.
I'm actually astonished that it's still people want to buy the actual CD rather than the MP3.
Very encouraging.
It's very encouraging because you know
it still happens.
Like back in the old times, right? Yeah, we definitely noticed a spike on the sales. Our main plans for this year is to sign distribution for national. And also for other parts of the world.
Do you even need it? I mean, maybe you've just proven it's unnecessary.
You know, actually, as it turns out, we do need it because we're planning to go to Europe, if not this year, but next year. And we need physical. And they still have brick-and-mortar stores, actually, unlike the United States. I think it's still more common. Me coming from Germany, I know that people are very hesitant to give their credit cards to online distributors or period. So they rather go into stores and look at the CDs or the records and actually do it the old-fashioned way.
The same way that they want to watch actual live musicians play live music the old-fashioned
Correct.
Way.
Correct.
Exactly, yeah. Some of the craving... Yeah.
Well, let's have another performance. What do you want to play for us next?
So the next one is...
It's a cha-cha, entitled Mr. 5-0. That's one of my originals, arranged by Mr. Dr. Aaron Linton. And everybody's asked me about the title, and the answers range from it's a beer brand to something else. The truth is I had a trumpet student, and he was so excellent in everything that his when he graduated from high school, he had a 5.0 GPA, and that blew me away. And I was like, how is that possible? So in honor of him, so I named it Mr. 5.0. So no more questions, guys. This is the truth. It's not a beer.
We're featuring Mr. Pete Cornell.
Is that Pete Cornell? Who has a solo?
Pete Cornell on the alto saxophone.
All right, so we're about to hear the Pacific Mambo Orchestra play Mr. 5-0, and I want to give out the number again just before they go into play. It is, hold on just one second, 866-733-6786. We want your calls and questions. Come join the conversation, this fabulous conversation with the Pacific Mambo Orchestra, 866-733-6786.
Thank you.
That was the Pacific Mambo Orchestra playing Mr. 5-0. The Pacific Mambo Orchestra is going to perform this Saturday, March 1st at 6 p.m. at Terrapin Crossroads in Santa Rosa. And you can buy their debut album on CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, through a link on their website, pacificmambo.com, where you can also get a list of all the band members. So I've got a question for you guys from a friend from Venezuela who notes that there are an awful lot of horn players from the U.S., and no offense, but he wants to know, you know, how the jazz phrasing is, you know, it's a different beast than say some other forms of jazz. You know, how do you learn that? How do you make sure you're in the right zone, as it were, to play Latin jazz?
Well, let me answer as a horn player. That's a very, very good question. Coming from a jazz background, we're taught to lay back, you know, when we're swinging eighth notes. And it's a big no. You can't do it. So you have to do the opposite. So if you go to a Latin gig, you really have to change your intention or your frame of mind, rather. And it's really a switch. And I learned that, I want to say, in 2006. Been playing Latin music a lot longer, but I had like an aha moment in 2006, and I was like, I'm dragging. I can't do it. So I had to like rethink my whole concept of playing Latin music.
Speaking of rethinking, I mean, you guys started out playing in a small club, you know, with a big group of excited dancers going at it while you were playing the music. And on tour, you had to work with some pretty big, stiff orchestral spaces. What was that like?
Well, at first it was, I believe, the first theater we had. We walked in, and they told us that it had a 1,400 people capacity, and we were like, okay. And these people were there just to see us, not dancing, because it's a completely different approach. When people are dancing, they are not necessarily watching band, right? And for us, like, I think the first gig was the most.
It was scary.
It was a little scary, yeah. It was a little shaky at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the thing really is, I mean, up to that point, we really hadn't played any concerts in that sense. You know, we played the clubs, we played the festivals where we feed off the energy of the dancers as well. And all of a sudden, that was not there anymore. So it had to be 100% coming from us to the audience instead of like a back and forth between dancers, audience, and the musicians. So we walked onto that stage in, where was it, Carmel, Indiana, and looked at that big hall, and we was like, oh, man, can we actually do that and project our energy and our intention to the audience?
Yeah, which turned out to be very good at the end.
Yeah, so we basically made it happen from the first gig off the tour on.
Do you have a sense how your audience breaks down, you know, whether it's like 50% dancers, 50%, you know, golden oldies?
Yeah. Well, if you trust the Facebook graphs, you know, our our audience is between 30 and 50, you know, if you believe in that stuff. But our dancers definitely are 20s, you know, 30s. It's a total mixed bag.
Right, it's a total mixed. Also, the more we are known in the world, in scene, we are driving more people that are not really into dancing. And that's the beauty of Pacific Mambo Orchestra. You don't have to be a dancer just to be there and enjoy the show.
You just tap your feet, snap your fingers.
Or listen, you know, just listen to it. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be a dancer necessarily. Yeah.
Well, I think we have time for maybe one more song. What do you want to play for us before we go out?
Let me see. You were featured.
What do you think? You want to go out with a bang, or you want to go out with something slow?
Anything as long as it's out by the top of the hour.
Going out with a bang, then I figure.
Yeah. So this is a song entitled "L'Ambición." It's the song number 4 in the record. It's my own original that I wrote for the band, and it's a great tune that talks about the greed and how sometimes the current. A financial system global might not be the appropriate one for people who actually are in different
status. So you guys
aren't
afraid of getting political with your music?
You know, that's what music is about, you know? we can express anything we want, and that's an issue that a lot of people, you know, think about on an everyday basis. So I decided to write this song, and it has a message, and it has a great groove, and it's very up-tempo.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, just a shout out to all the listeners. You know, you can find us on www.pacificmambo.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to check out our shows that are coming up, you can do it there.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we have this show coming up tomorrow.
Why don't I talk about that while you guys go
ready? It's in San Rafael, actually.
That's what I was about to
say. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay. So yes, we're about to hear from the Pacific Mambo Orchestra playing one last song. They will be performing tomorrow night, March 1st, at Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael. And, of course, you can check out their music and the band list, all 19 members of them, at pacificmambo.com. All righty, then.
Dejando pena al otro sin condición. Por eso aquí en el mundo de los hombres existe la manipulación. Mira mi hermano que hoy estamos en un mundo, pero que vive por lo que en la bolsa tiene uno. Lo importante lo de adentro, no se te olvide jamás que lo de afuera dura poco, ya no vuelve, le, ahí nada más. Vuelta, vuelta del reloj, mucho van y mucho vienen, pasando por la vida sin pensar que la plata en sí no es importante, sino lo que ella puede dar. Mira mi hermano que hoy estamos en un mundo, pero que vivo por lo que en la bolsa tiene uno. Lo importante lo de adentro, no se te olvide jamás. Que lo de afuera dura poco, ya no vuelve. Que lo de afuera dura poco, ya no. Oye, campana mayoral, campana mayoral, tú ve.
Unos tienen la plata que otros tienen.
Pero que mira tu malán, que eso es una enfermedad.
Todos quieren la plata que otros tienen.
Cantándole a San Francisco, oye, pero te mira que.
Todos quieren la plata
bueno
que
es.
Otros tienen.
Se ve la cara, se ve la cara. Venezuela, te quiero. Vaya, Pacific Mambo. Sopla. Barrera. se puede, no.
Fabulous, the Pacific Mambo Orchestra. Can we hear a big shout from everybody? Woo! I've got to read at least a couple more comments. This one from Claire. Thank you so much for having this wonderful band on and playing whole songs, nice long ones. Thank you for shaking it up and introducing me to a band I hadn't heard of. Muchas gracias.
Thanks, Claire.
And Daniel writes, what I really appreciate, and I think this is a big part of the band's success, is that they never forget that this is the first and foremost, that this is first and foremost dance music. Thanks,
right.
Pacific Mambo Orchestra.
Thank you.
I want to thank you both, Kristen Tumalan and Stefan Kewen, co-leaders, co-directors, co-founders of the Pacific Mambo Orchestra. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all the musicians that made it here on a rainy Friday morning.
On a rainy Friday morning to start the weekend off right. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai with online support from Chad McClymans. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. I'm Rachel Miro, in for Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED Public Radio.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation. Support for KQED Arts is provided by the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation and the members of KQED.